K-Mud Podcast presents.
All right. And this is Wild Ginger. And today in studio, I am here with Mandy, the president of the Mycological Society for Humboldt Bay. I said it backwards. I apologize.
That's okay. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, feel free to retell me, say it correctly for me, and remind me your last name. I apologize.
It's Hackney. Mandy Hackney.
Thank you, Mandy. Sorry. So thanks for coming all the way down in person. It's so much fun. I'm glad you could be here.
It's exciting. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, this is super fun. So just a few weeks ago, you were working with Friends of the Lost Coast out in my neck of the woods looking for mushrooms in the woods. And I was bummed to miss it and thought, well, I need a chance to meet you myself. So I'm so glad you took me up on the offer. And there's so much fun to talk about. Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about the society?
Yeah, so I'm the president of the Humboldt Bay Mycological Society. We've been around for almost 50 years. We're a nonprofit. We do a lot of different things. Our mission is to promote the knowledge and conservation of fungi while creating community around it.
Awesome. So can you give me a couple of examples of that in action, like maybe some of the stuff you've done recently or this year?
So we have our peak season is in the fall. We do monthly meetings from September through January. We offer forays. We do workshops. We have scholarships. And we have our annual mushroom fair every November.
Awesome. So in the off season, you're all like, oh, there's no mushrooms. We're just going to take a break.
Sometimes we'll offer workshops or potentially maybe like a lichen walk, or sometimes we'll throw in a potluck. But for the most part, we tend to have a season that's in the fall.
That makes sense. So what's your favorite mushroom of all time ever?
Oh, my God. What a loaded question.
It could be locally, or it could be like, this is just mind-blowing. You all have to know this.
Okay. Well,
or both.
This is a very difficult question, but one of my absolute favorite local mushrooms is called the parrot mushroom. It's Gliophorus citicinus, and it's a waxy cap, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. It has this slimy, normally emerald green cap, but it can be in shades of yellow to orange to even blue. They love the redwoods. You need to Google it. It's the parrot mushroom. It's absolutely stunning.
Or look it up in one of the many mushroom books mm-hmm. that you list on your website that people
yes.
should own if they like mushrooms. Every time I meet someone new who's new to the community and they like mushrooms, they say, what books do I need? And I say, you should always start with All the Rain Promises. It's super thin, hands-on. Do you agree?
I think that is a great one for beginners. I think even more for our area is Mushrooms of the Redwood Coast. We kind of jokingly call it the Bible because it's so good for our area. So that one I highly, highly recommend. And it's more updated.
Yes. Good point. Good point. It doesn't show pictures of dogs that have been dyed with mushrooms, though, and that's so cute.
It doesn't have that amazing cover either of
right?
David Arora in a tuxedo with a trumpet and an armful of chanterelles. So.
It's hilarious. And it's usually at like every local bookstore. You'll be able to find a whole section just on Humboldt mushroom books, and all the books will be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just going to throw this in right now because I just said local bookstore. Northtown Books is accepting offers online still. So if you want to support Northtown Books right now when they have gone through so much lately, feel free to jump on their website and order a book and they'll send it to your house in case you didn't see that redheaded black belt post about it.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Yeah, just want to throw it out there. So yeah, moving along. The Redwood Coast book is the one you recommend for us, but not so much the Cascadia one. They're both written by the same two authors.
Yeah, Christian Schwarz and Noah Siegel both wrote those books, and I think that both of them can be used for our area.
Uh-huh.
The Cascadia, we're kind of more at the bottom end of that range, so it does apply to our area, but I feel like if we're beginners and if you want a more like pronounced, dictionary or database for our area, I would go with Mushrooms of the Redwood Coast.
Okay, awesome. So, favorite edible. Let's just talk with you personally for a minute. What's your favorite edible mushroom?
Oh, my glob. That's another difficult question.
Oh, my glob. I love that.
I'm a really big fan of porcini.
Oh, yeah.
I love porcini. I also really like black trumpets, matsutake, Chanterelles are always good.
Chanterelles are good because there's never anybody in there. How come no one ever lives inside a chanterelle? Are they like not edible to worms or something? I don't get it.
I think they're just like, they have a preference for the yummy porcini.
Yeah, yeah, they sure do. Oh my goodness. And the morels with all those little holes. It's like a little hotel in there.
I know, but those are so delicious too. Love those.
Those are my favorite, I would have to say, overall, but they don't really grow here the way they grow with abundance, like where I used to live in the Mount Shasta region.
That's true. We find them more inland here, but I will tell you, a few weeks ago, I found one growing in the dunes.
What?
I know. What? On rotting ice plant. I literally thought I had been pranked.
I think you were.
No, I was with my friend Brittany, and I was like, you need to go look at this. And we were both like, what is this? And it was attached, and it was not a prank, and it was growing there. And there's apparently species of Morchella, which is the genus for morels,
yes,
that grow in beachy areas like in Australia. So I collected it for DNA sequencing, and awesome. So we'll find out.
That is mind-blowing. Was it a regular looking morel, like dark cap? And
it was more gray in color, but it's very stereotypical. You could not misplace it. That's why I was like, somebody planted this.
This is insane. I'm mind blown right now. I had no idea. I did not know that about
morels. I didn't know that either, so we're all learning.
Well, in case you've never seen a morel, go to the woods and look for a little, what do they call, a little troll with a hat on? That's all. I swear, every time I see a morel, I first think it's like a little person. I'm like, oh, it's a little gnome in it. That's the word, gnome. I always think, is that a gnome? I see it in the corner of my eye. Is that a gnome with a little hat? Oh, it's a morel. Maybe it was a gnome and it turned into morel. Okay, I'm getting crazy. Anyway, mushrooms, it'll send you places, that's for sure.
That is true.
I spend a lot of time in the woods with my mushroom friends. I love it. And I love when I find witch's butter because it's so vibrant. When everything else is green, it's so bright orange. But I've never seen one of the like blue-green ones. Have you seen that one?
Are you talking about the blue cheese fungus?
Maybe. It's like I guess I'm thinking of orange peel. Like sometimes there's like a blue orange peel that I haven't seen or something like that.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay, I don't know. I apologize. I roll through these mushroom books, go, I hope I see that one. I hope I see that one someday. Ooh, I hope I see that green one someday. I did find some bluets this year, and they were tasty.
Nice.
They were really pretty. It was hard to cook and eat them because they were so pretty. It was the first time I ever found them. I also sometimes come upon that beefsteak mushroom.
Ooh.
Do you have any info for me about beefsteak? Do they like to come back to the same place every year? Like if I cut it off the tree, will it come back? Or did I just like destroy the whole thing?
No, it's inoculated that tree. And I think it'll be there. It prefers up where I live in Eureka and the more coastal Humboldt, it prefers the Pacific wax myrtle. And I know down here it can even be found on chinkapin.
That's where I found it. It was on a chinkapin.
Nice.
Yep. Because my partner was like, that's not a wax myrtle. That can't possibly be. I'm like, but it is.
Different area.
Cool. Very interesting. I'm just like kind of in shock about this morel thing. Let's move forward because, wow, morel's in the sand and I'm going to be dreaming about it. Wow. Because I've only ever found them in like a place where there's been a lot of fire.
Agreed. Or wood chips.
Yeah. I love that about mushrooms, how they're like one of the first to be like, don't worry, something bad happened here, but we're going to make it good again.
Mm-hmm.
How far are we away? Maybe this is too big of a question. I don't know. You can always say, I hope soon and move on. But how far are we away from using mushrooms to do things like clean up oil spills or like things like that in like everyday society? Like if somebody got into an accident on Broadway and we wanted to clean it up, like when can we hope that they'll start using mushrooms for that?
Hopefully soon. They are using it in smaller scale. We have a local Levon who runs Fungaia Farm. He's worked with the tribe doing some cleanup.
Sweet.
One of our speakers last month, Dr. Danielle, she came up from LA. She's also doing things like that. There's different organizations that are already doing that, but I think it's just so new that they're just kind of working out the kinks and it's in its beta stages, but we're hoping one day it's going to be just like more mainstream.
Yeah, amazing stuff. That's awesome. I did miss that talk that you had, but it looked really interesting. It was about mushrooms and pine forests. Is that the discussion you were talking about or a different one?
Oh, yeah. That's our January speaker is coming up.
So mm-hmm. Do folks who are interested in that workshop, well, let's talk about all the workshops and how you can attend those workshops. Do you have to be a member to attend? Are they on Zoom if you miss the day of? Tell me a little about that.
So most of our workshops, we do prioritize members first, but our membership is incredibly affordable. It is only $10 for students, $15 individual, and like $20 for a family. We're the cheapest in the state. And so we open it up to members first, and if it doesn't fill up, then we will open it up to the public. Mm-hmm. Right now we have a mushroom dye workshop coming up, and we also have a mushroom shiitake log workshop.
Cool.
Both are full, but you can always keep your eyes open because sometimes people do drop out. And then we always have our meetings on the third Wednesday of the month. So that is free and open to the public. And we also offer it via Zoom. Cool. So you don't have to come in person.
So what does a meeting kind of look like? Somebody who's interested in mushrooms should attend a meeting like this to learn more because you're going to talk about mushrooms, or is it more like finance and stuff?
Oh, no, it's very cool. So we always have it at Huff in Bayside. And then we open up our doors around 7. We offer tea and cookies, and people can come and socialize for half an hour. We have an ID table, so if you need something identified or you want to bring something in to show.
Fun.
Then we will do like 15 minutes of club business, and then we'll have a speaker.
Wow, that's amazing. That sounds really fun. Have you booked any future gigs with Friends of the Lost Coast down here in Sohum for those of us who missed your last gathering with Friends of the Lost Coast?
Yes. So next Wednesday, the 14th at 6 o'clock via Zoom, I will be giving a presentation for Friends of the Lost Coast about the work that I did with Fundus, which is short for the Fungal Diversity Survey. I was a fungi collector for their California Fundus project, where we received grant funding to go throughout the state of California and collect mushroom specimens for DNA sequencing.
Wow. So do you publish that information when you get it back and like make it part of something your members get to learn more about?
Yeah, so Fundus is a separate entity. They're their own nonprofit, and they upload yearly reports on their website. We also, all of our observations are linked to iNaturalist, which is also open to anybody, and you can get on there and see. And we'll link our microweb portal, we'll link our DNA results and any publications.
Awesome. So iNaturalist is a great way to see if anybody in your community has seen a mushroom in your community around you, because there's this great map if you just type in the name of what you're looking for. I really love iNaturalist. I haven't been on there in a little while. I need to re-upload it. My next question just lost my brain right when I said that. I apologize.
No worries.
Yeah, where's a good one? Darn it. Where'd it go? Well, I guess we can move forward. So Friends of the Lost Coast, next week, it's available on Zoom. We can go to the Friends of the Lost Coast website. But we also go to your website, or...
We have it posted on our social media, and we will be putting it in our newsletter for our members. But right now it is on the calendar for Friends of the Lost Coast, and that's where they'll be posting the link for the Zoom.
Great. Easy, easy peasy to find. Thank mm-hmm. you for doing that. So exciting.
Yeah.
I think during COVID, I may have taken a workshop that you led on Zoom. Did you do some workshops on Zoom during COVID, or was that another?
No, that
must
have been somebody else. It might have been Maria. She was a former president. She's a professor at CR. She's a very knowledgeable mycologist.
That's who it was. Thank you. I apologize. But shout out to her as well. And shout out to your friend. Was it Brittany that helped you find that morel?
Brittany's from, she's been living in Redway. She just moved up to Arcata to go to school, but she also led the foray with me with Friends of, Sanctuary Forest. She was out there. And Friends of the Lost Coast. She was with me for both of them.
Cool. Right mm-hmm. on. Well, hi, Brittany. Sorry you couldn't make it today, but welcome, you know, happy moving. Right on. Super cool. Super cool. So if there was anything, if there was an advice tip, like top two or three things you should tell people who've never gone mushroom hunting before, but they know it's a season for something edible and they're going out, what's the best advice for mushroomers?
Well, I would say if the goal is edibles, like you have your heart set on finding something tasty, I would get really knowledgeable with what you're looking for before you even go. So get your field guide, get on iNat and look at photos of it and look at the range and where people are finding it. And just start learning the identifiable features and the trees that it grows with, because that will make it a lot easier too. You know, like chanterelles, they really like Sitka spruce. So you don't need to spend your time wandering the forest. Just go where you know there's Sitka, and your chances of finding it are a lot higher.
Oh, right on. Right on. Chanterelles specifically seem like there's not a lot of nobody else really looks that much like them that grows here. Is that true? Like if I find something bright yellow, looks like a trumpety weird mutant, it's probably chanterelle, right?
I would say, yeah, there's not a lot of lookalikes, but I have heard that we do have a mushroom Omphalotus. It's the jack-o'-lantern mushroom. And for some reason, I don't think they look very similar, but I have heard people mistake them for chanterelles, and that can cause some gastro upset. So,
Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah. Nobody wants that. Yeah. That is one of the biggest side effects of eating a mushroom that's unidentifiable, right? Is like upset belly, possible actual poisoning. Like, it's no joke to just put something in your mouth. So I was mushrooming with a friend recently who's also a DJ here. Shout out to Feral Selector. And they have a young child, and they said, I never put anything in my mouth in the forest in front of my child because I don't want them to think you can just pick something up and eat it. So I always wait till I get home, make sure it's ID'd, make sure, you know, the kiddo doesn't see me just pick up some witch's butter and pop it in my mouth, because I don't want them to think that they can just do that. I love that piece of advice because as a former school teacher, that's something that I always led a workshop in the fall with the kids. Let's go out in the yard and see what we have, what kind of mushrooms. It was always a poisonous. There was always a ton of poisonous mushrooms in the schoolyard constantly because of the wood chips or whatever, like living in the woods like this. So it was always a like, we're not touching a single thing until the teacher looks at it with you. And then, of course, I would, for the most part, be like, unless it's a chanterelle, we're not touching it at all, because I'm not 100% on it. Anyway, let's move forward. We've got about 10 minutes left. I'm not going to remember the name. I'm going to get yelled at later. But there's a mushroom that grows lobster on top of it. What is that mushroom called?
Oh, you're thinking of, we have Russula brevipes.
Thank you, yeah.
That's parasitized by the Hypomyces lactiflorum, which gives you the delicious lobster mushroom.
So what do you do to get the lobster to form if you have the first mushroom but it just never grows the one on top of it? Can we inoculate it somehow?
I think it's a little late at that point. I think it happens before it starts coming up. But I don't know the science behind all that, but I would assume it's kind of, it either happens or it doesn't.
A few years ago at the mushroom fair, there were dancing performers who dressed as those mushrooms, and it was so awesome. And it just stuck with me for years. It's like, what an awesome example. Like, it just, if you didn't get it before, they showed you exactly what's happening. It was great. It was beautiful. They had like tutu dresses. It was adorable.
I saw that. I was there for that. That was one of Maria's students. They had like awesome. An opportunity to be involved in different ways. And I love that they chose interpretive dance.
Me too. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I love the Mushroom Fair. It happens once a year in the fall. Yes, October?
November. It's always the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Weekend before Thanksgiving. And it's up north in Arcata at the community center.
Yes.
And if you're a member of the Mycological Society, you get in an hour earlier than everyone else,
and
right?
And you get in for free.
Oh, I didn't know
that. It's included.
So you get the first chance at the new t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because every year.
We do sell out. We do sell out of our merch, and then it can get really busy, and people don't like the crowds, and parking can become an issue. So it's like
having
that.
Oh, parking's an issue, sorry.
Yeah, having that first hour is really nice.
It is the way to go. It's the way to go. And I love that every year you hang up all the shirts from all the previous years so that you can see this is how many years we've been here, and this is how many mushrooms there are, that we can have a different t-shirt every year. It's so amazing.
One of our members does that, Douglas. He has been around forever, and that's his personal collection that he brings and hangs up. This was our 47th year. We've been around for a while.
That's awesome. What is the mushroom on your shirt for this year's Humboldt Bay?
So this year's t-shirt design was done by Charlie Wheat. She's a member and a really intelligent naturalist and talented artist. It's the Porpolomopsis, the pink waxy cap. It's from Redwood Habitat, and it grows locally in our area, and it's just a really stunning mushroom with a pale pink cap and a white stem.
It's so cute. Yes, that's beautiful. I've never seen that one myself. I am also really excited that you include lichens in some of your discussions as well, because I think they're kind of hard to put in a place. They're not mushrooms, but they're not mushrooms.
They're definitely part fungi.
Yeah.
Lichens are weird. And one of our board members, Sarah, who's our treasurer, she did her schooling at HSU, and she did a project on lichens. She's our local lichen queen. She's very knowledgeable. She runs the lichen table at the fair. She works for Redwood National Park. Like, she's your go-to lichen person.
Will you share her information with me?
Yeah, or totally.
The other way around, like, let her know Wild Ginger wants to talk to her.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be so fun. Yeah, recently purchased a lichen book and was like, oh my gosh, this is just so mind-blowing. I've always loved lichens as well, but it is, in case people don't know, it's a mushroom and an algae at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. It's like two entities in one.
Yeah.
Almost like a symbiotic relationship, maybe?
Yeah.
I just can't. It's hard to wrap your mind around.
I think they offer a class at Cal Poly for, I think it's lichens and bryophytes.
Ooh, what a fun class that would be.
I know.
That's a reason to go back to school. That's cool. That's cool. Wow. Well, if there's a great way to find you, tell us about your social media handles and websites and stuff.
Yes. So you can find us online at Humboldt Bay Mycological Society. It's a mouthful. So it's hbmycologicalsociety.org. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. We post on there all the time. That's where if you want to find information and get included, I highly recommend becoming a member. It's super affordable and it gets you first dibs on a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. So much cool stuff. So much cool stuff. You know, I didn't remember to say this earlier, but if you go to the Mushroom Fair, you always have vendors, too, that are selling different products that have to do with mushrooms, which is always really fun, too, to support local artists in that way and see some things made with mushrooms in mind. So it's great because it's right before the holidays. So if you're looking for, like, an ornament with a mushroom on it or something, you will find it there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fabulous. And then they sometimes sell out, too.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's like, you got to get it while it's good.
You got to get it while it's good. I, a few years ago, got a, isn't a mushroom. It's a banana slug butter dish.
Aww.
It is so cute. And I went back the next year and was like, oh, you're out of banana slugs. And she's like, yeah, they sell out like crazy. So there are definitely reasons to get there early. So that tiny fee for becoming a member is totally worth it. And then you get to go to those meetings in case you ever find a mushroom you want ID'd. That's where you go.
Yeah, and the meetings are open to the public, so anybody can come to those. But it's as far as, like, we also offer, you know, like memberships and scholarships and workshops and all this fun stuff. So there are perks to membership because a lot of all of our forays are members only.
Right on. So in the last 5 minutes, tell me, I guess maybe you already answered, maybe the morel in the sand was the weirdest. Is there what is the weirdest mushroom you've ever seen?
Oh, man. I've seen a lot of mushrooms. you know, one of my absolute favorites to find that I adore is cordyceps, which are fungi that parasitize like insects and spiders and things like that. And we actually have a fair amount of them in our area.
I didn't know they grow here. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love finding them. They're fabulous.
So you find them because you found a dead ant with a mushroom growing out of its head?
Or it could be a fly larvae, or it could be a spider. You'll see it's just like covered in fungus, or sometimes it has like, you know, like what you're picturing with the ant with the little stem popping out of its head, you know.
Yeah. But they're always dead animals when you find them?
Yes, they've been consumed by the fungus.
What's the likelihood of that happening to humans?
Right now, zero.
Yes. I thought we'd end on a good note.
Yes.
That's wonderful. So if you get a chance to get on the website, it's easy to become a member today. It's just a
Absolutely.
Click of a button.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And if folks are interested in any of your upcoming workshops, you've got a great calendar on your website that explains what's coming up for the month of January.
And we do.
Maybe you'll be able to sneak in if you get yourself on the waiting list. How would that work? Like, let's say I really want to go to that mushroom dye workshop, but it's already full. If I click on the $65 to get in, will it just let me be on a waiting list and you'll call if they open?
I do believe we have a wait list.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. That's a steal, by the way, because you go home with like a scarf or something that you've made.
And you're getting like one-on-one, you know, tutorial with a professional. You're getting to meet other people in your community. You can come and make friends and hang out. It's a really good place for people to come together because, as we all know, living in Humboldt, it can be isolating. So if you want like-minded people who share a passion for mushrooms, come find us. There is a place for you here.
Yay. And there's a place for you here at K-Mud, too.
Aww.
Thank you so much for coming all the way down and doing this in person. This has been really cool.
I appreciate you inviting me. This was really fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. Let's stay in touch, and maybe there's a way that in the future we can have you vending at one of our events, or we can come hang out at one of yours and broadcast it or something.
Yes, I love collaborating.
Yeah, that would be really fun. Thank you so much, Mandy. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just about time. I'm going to have to move forward from here. So forgive me if I just say thank you, thank you. Enjoy your drive home. And thanks for coming all the way down to SoHum for us. And thanks for being here for all of Humboldt County and beyond, you know. Here's one more really quick question. Just came to mind. Are there other mycological societies nearby? Like if somebody lives in Trinity County, should they still come to your group? Or is there one in Trinity County? Or how does that work?
So there is an organization called NAMA, which is short for the North American Mycological Association, and they have a list of all the affiliated clubs in North America. Perfect. On the North Coast, it's kind of us.
Okay.
But as you go further to Chico and the Bay and all that, there's way more.
Awesome. Okay. So if somebody was like out of town and down south, they could go to, they could find out where other mushroom events are happening.
Yeah. And you can join all these. I've been members of multiples. I'll travel to different fairs, different forays. It's a great way to meet people and find stuff and get in the area, especially if you're not that familiar with it and you're not feeling that comfortable. Go join a club and they'll take you out.
Yay. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Thank you. This has been a pleasure. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Yeah. Have a great afternoon and happy foraging. All right, this is Wild Ginger. You're listening to Wildcraft, and that has been Mandy Hackney, the president of the Humboldt Bay Mycological Society, chatting with us today about her favorite mushrooms and books to read and all the joys of mushrooming in the woods. So yeah, this is a show about living with the land, and one way to live with the land is to go out and enjoy it and look at it and maybe even eat it if you find one that's edible. So one little hint about mushrooms, you're not hurting a mushroom at all if you pick it. Oh, I'm going to put you back on mic, right? So you can agree with me. That's true, right, Mandy?
That's absolutely true. And you can touch any mushroom. It will not hurt you.
Just don't touch it and then touch your mouth.
Honestly, there's no like data behind that. When I worked for Fundus, I would taste mushrooms for data. But the point I want to make here is I did not swallow. I was taking a very small bite just to see if it had a flavor, and then I was spitting it out.
Yeah, I don't recommend that for
most for most people.
But you can always look. You can always touch. Know what you're doing and know that you're not hurting the plant, because that's like the fruiting body of the mycelium.
Yeah, that's true. You can touch any mushroom. Just be, when it comes to eating, I would say you need to be as sure as you are as if you were eating a banana. So if you're not as sure as you are if what you're eating, don't eat it.
Thank you.
This has been a K-Mite podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast, and also on our website, kmud.org.